S&P futures were up about 40 points this morning, trading around 75 to 24, which reflects the tentative optimism from the ceasefire proposal and the chip stock recovery. But the broader investment picture being painted by some of the smartest money in the market is considerably more cautious. Jamie Dimon, CEO of JPMorgan Chase, made news this week by saying he personally would not buy stocks or bonds at current prices. This from the head of a bank that just reported record quarterly profits. His reasoning: investors are significantly underpricing both geopolitical risk, he specifically cited the Iran conflict, and fiscal risk from the federal deficit.
Dimon saying this publicly while JPMorgan is posting record profits is a notable act of institutional candor. He's essentially telling clients that the bank is doing well, but the macro environment is more dangerous than asset prices reflect. The Dimon premium in terms of market attention is real. He doesn't make these statements casually, and the last several times he's issued macro warnings, they've aged reasonably well.
Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs data shows hedge funds are dumping U.S. tech stocks at a record pace. The combination of these two signals, Dimon personally bearish, institutional money actively reducing tech exposure, while chip stocks simultaneously rally on Iwaner. Ideal news is creating a genuinely bifurcated market. The AI enthusiasm is real and has near-term catalysts. The underlying macro risks Dimon is identifying are also real, but don't have a specific near-term trigger. These things can coexist in markets for extended periods.
The Paramount Warner Bros. Merger freeze is a significant business story that will reshape the media landscape depending on how it resolves. A federal judge has frozen the $111 billion deal pending review, which means two of the largest remaining traditional media conglomerates are in legal limbo. The regulatory concern centers on content concentration. Combining HBO, Warner Bros., Paramount Pictures, CBS, and their combined streaming libraries would create an entity with enormous negotiating leverage over cable providers, streaming platforms, and distributors. The antitrust analysis here is substantial.
Trump signing a proclamation offering tariff cuts to spur U.S. aluminum smelter investment is an interesting use of trade policy as industrial development incentive. The framing is that reduced tariffs on certain aluminum imports will be offered in exchange for commitments to build domestic smelting capacity. It's using the tariff lever not as a pure protectionist tool, but as a conditional inducement, which is somewhat more sophisticated as a policy instrument, though the effectiveness depends entirely on whether the investment commitments are credible and enforceable.
The EU banning destruction of unsold clothes and shoes is a regulatory development that will affect every major fashion retailer selling into European markets. The practice of incinerating or shredding unsold inventory, which Burberry famously did at scale and faced public backlash over, has been common across the fashion industry as a way to maintain brand exclusivity and avoid the reputational cost of discounting. Under the new EU rules, companies will need to donate, recycle, or repurpose inventory instead. For fast fashion brands with enormous unsold stock, this is a logistically complex compliance challenge.
Miami being more expensive than New York City for the first time in recorded history is a data point that would have seemed almost inconceivable a decade ago. The convergence has been driven by a combination of post-pandemic migration of high-income workers to Florida, limited housing supply in desirable Miami neighborhoods, and New York retaining but not dramatically increasing its cost base. The implications for business location decisions, workforce recruitment, and state fiscal policy are significant. Florida's no-income tax advantage is substantially eroded if the cost of living differential is no longer meaningful.